Well, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine rollout is back on after the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, or SAHPRA, recommended that government lift the pause on the administering of the vaccine. Now, certain conditions, of course, must be met. Government suspended the rollout of the J&J or Janssen vaccine after U.S. health agencies recommended pausing it. This is the FDA, because of rare cases of blood clots in six people that have been inoculated with the J&J vaccine. Now, we discuss the matter with Medical Research Council President Professor Glenda Gray. Good morning, Professor Glenda.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum.
And greetings to you, Professor Gray. Tell us, if there were six people out of around 7 million inoculated who already vaccinated, and this is in the US, why the need to pause the J&J vaccine rollout in South Africa?
I guess people are cautious, and the SAHPRA needed some space to review the data. So we are working closely with them. They want to be reassured that we have plans in place to monitor and detect any clotting disorder or people who want to be vaccinated, how we manage them. And I think it's important because obviously if we roll out J&J in South Africa, we need to have established systems and practices that can help anyone, not just healthcare workers, who may present with this rare clotting disorder. So I think it's important, it's kind of a stitch in time saves nine. And by doing this now, we can protect how we manage the program in the future, and that we don't put the program in jeopardy because we weren't careful or we didn't implement our practices up front. So I think it's an important thing. Obviously, it's frustrating for everyone. Healthcare workers are frustrated. We're frustrated. We were just almost there, 200,000 people to go, and everyone's feeling feeling the impatience. But we also realize that safety is important, first and foremost.
The body SAHPRA, I mean, look, they've probably been around for a long, long time, but coming in the limelight or in the public attention, of course, post COVID-19 or the outbreak of COVID-19. Now, of course, we've heard of them during the ivermectin discussion a few months ago, now during the vaccine trial. How stringent are South Africa's standards in allowing any form of medication, be it a vaccine, to be used for the general public?
I think they're very stringent. It's a regulatory authority that their job is to protect the safety of people in South Africa. And so obviously if you're a regulator, you do have to be cautious, just like the FDA was cautious. And so our country has a very cautious regulator, which is a good thing, because they care about South Africans, and it's important that whatever product we put into the country, there are enough mechanisms to detect any adverse event that may happen because of this product.
Is the J&J vaccine safe, Doctor? I mean, it has been administered to thousands of healthcare workers thus far. Have we seen any problems or issues with it?
So we haven't seen any of the rare clotting disorders that have been described. So there is a vaccine-induced thrombocytosis and thrombocytopenia that appears to have occurred in, as you mentioned, those six cases. And we haven't seen that yet, and it's a rare event. And I think we only start to see rare events once we get into the millions of vaccinations. We must remember that COVID itself is a thromboembolic disorder. So we get enormous clots, enormous bleeding in people who do get COVID. And so, so we've been talking to hematologists in the country to make sure that we manage anyone who might get this in South Africa properly. And they tell me that we should be more worried about COVID-19 than this rare event. Having said that, this is a vaccine, and we have to make sure that anyone who takes it, who gets this rare event, we can manage properly.
You know, Professor Glenda, I mean, vaccinations, and especially this current COVID-19 vaccination, we've seen a reluctance from many people, not all, but many people, to take the vaccine regardless of what brand it is, J&J or otherwise. Do these type of events, that news items, blood clotting or something related to the vaccine, do they add to the reluctance, or are people, let's say, wise and educated enough to move beyond what may be those concerns?
I think people are concerned. There is vaccine hesitancy. And I think the first thing is, one takes a vaccine for individual benefit. you take the vaccine because you look at your risk and your benefit, and you say, well, you know, if I got COVID, I might die. And this vaccine has been shown to protect against severe disease and death and hospitalization. So I think I think in the beginning, you take a vaccine because you perceive it to have an individual benefit for you. In the future, one starts to look at herd immunity. You take the vaccine for the community. You take the vaccine to protect others. And I think that the more we roll out these vaccines, remember 500 million people at a global level have received these vaccines. And so that's pretty substantial. And we've seen in certain parts of the world that these vaccines, have contributed to controlling the pandemic. However, there are lots of vaccines out there, and we don't know the safety of all of them, and so we have to also make sure that the vaccines we evaluate or we use in America, we have local evidence that they work. And so it's going to be a long haul. Africa is the least vaccinated continent at a global level, and the longer we don't vaccinate, the more we have viral evolution and variants forming. And if we don't make sure we vaccinate Africa, this will be a huge problem for us going forward in the future, because the SARS-CoV-2 might become endemic in Africa, and we might be the continent that seeds variants all over the world. And so it's very important at a continental level to try and make sure that we are trying to get as much vaccinations out to control the viral evolution that we worried we might be seeing.
Finally, Professor, so far the discussion has centered around J&J, AstraZeneca, and a bit about Pfizer as well. Should we be looking at more, options in the vaccination of the country? You've got the brands out there, the Sputnik brand, the one out of China, various other brands that haven't come to our discussion table as yet. Should South Africa be exploring multiple brands instead of restricting themselves to two or three?
Well, I believe that whatever brand we use in South Africa, we make sure we know the safety profile. So the Sputnik also has the Ad26 Prime and a Ad5B. So it's the same kind of viral structure as the J&J one. And so the safety profile would be similar. The Chinese one we're hearing is not effective enough. And even the Chinese have reported that in Brazil and other places, they're seeing an efficacy of less than 50%. And so if you have to do the risk and benefit analysis, but you do want the vaccine that you use to have a good chance of working. We have a lot of HIV infected people in South Africa, a lot of people with TB, and we know that we're worried about the lack of the ability of people who are immune suppressed to mount a good immune response. And so if we're giving people suboptimal vaccines, that might exacerbate the lack of efficacy in these people, which is the very people who need our vaccine or a vaccine.
Professor Glenda Gray, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International this morning. Have a good good day, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Talking about the vaccination rollout, the J&J, after a pause, being back on track for rollout here in South Africa. Still, the healthcare workers have to be vaccinated, and then thereafter, the portal being open to those over 60. I think it's working by now, and many people have, in fact, gone on and registered. Let's see how that plays out in the days to come.